Hello, and welcome to another edition of the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. A reminder that the podcasts have moved from my blog at jeremy.linuxquestions.org to the LQ Radio site. If you haven't updated your feed yet, please do so now. You only have 2 days left to vote in the 2004 LinuxQuestions.org Members' Choice Awards. Over 23,000 votes have already been cast, and we have some extremely close races in the making. Your vote could be the difference. Visit www.linuxquestions.org/awards to place your vote in each of the 24 categories. An LQ Radio update. Thanks to some tips from Doug over at IT Conversations and some testing that I've done with Dave, we are making great progress. Found out that some of the echo problems that we were having were related to an odd ELSA interaction, and we fixed that problem. We're now moving on to the next phase of testing and are tentatively planning to go ahead with a Skype-only system. We still plan to have the first show available for download in February. By the way, if you haven't heard, Skype 1.0 is now available for Linux, so you might want to download that and test it out. A couple of things were brought up in the last couple of weeks, and although I highlighted them in the last community bulletin, I'll also mention them here. The first is that many great features of LQ seem to be overlooked or missed. There is indeed a lot of great information and features available, so next time you have a chance, take a few moments to scroll down the right-hand navigation and take a look around at all the different links. You might be surprised at what you find. I was also reminded that helping answer threads with zero posts is a great way for any LQ member to help their fellow LQ members. We have feeds available both per forum and a general feed for all the forums. So whether you just want to take a look at any thread that has zero replies or feel that you would rather look at a feed that is just about a specific topic, we have both of those available for you. Another great way to help not only your fellow LQ members, but LQ itself, is to add information to the LQ Wiki. You can do this by either adding information to an existing article or even by creating a new article that doesn't exist yet. Adding to the LQ Wiki is not only quick and easy, but allows you to help build the largest general Linux knowledge base on the web. If you're not sure what to write about, you'll notice on the left-hand nav that there's a link called Wanted Pages. This will list the most wanted pages by the number of links that the non-existent article has. Don't forget that February is the unofficial Linux conference month. Let me pull up the calendar here. We have the OSDL Enterprise Linux Summit, which will be wrapping up today. That conference ran January 31st and then February 1st and 2nd. We have the Desktop Linux Summit on the 9th, 10th, and 11th. We have Scale 3, or the Southern California Linux Expo, on the 12th and 13th. And then finally, we have the Linux World Conference and Expo, February 15th, 16th, and 17th. A reminder that LinuxQuestions.org will be at Linux World Conference and Expo in the .org pavilion. So if you'll be in Boston for that show, make sure to stop by and say hello. Also, if you'd like to cover any of the other conferences on behalf of Linux Questions, please contact me ASAP. As you may know, we are media sponsors of all four of those conferences, and unfortunately, neither myself or any of the mods are able to attend some of them, and we would like to be able to cover them all. On the conference note, I'm proud to announce that LinuxQuestions.org is a sponsor of the upcoming Open Source Business Conference, which will be held on April 5th and 6th at the Westin in San Francisco. We'll have more details for you soon, but visit osbc.com for more information. On to Linux news. There are a lot of uncovered news has piled up, so I'll cover a few topics here now and then likely do another short podcast very soon. In a follow-up to a story that I covered earlier, there's now a potential resolution on the issue of Linux kernel security bugs. As an alternative to the current vendor sec list, there will likely be a dedicated invite-only security mailing list dedicated to kernel security issues. This list will not put an embargo on fixes, but it may put them on the actual exploit, which is probably a good thing. I have to say that I like the proposed resolution and hope it works out for the best. In the next story, The Software Freedom Law Center has been established to provide legal representation and other law-related services to protect and advance free and open-source software. From the article, the Law Center is being established to provide legal services to protect the legitimate rights and interests of free and open-source software projects and developers who often do not have the means to secure the legal services they need, said Eben Moglen. Overseeing the Software Freedom Law Center will be Moglen, Diane Peters, OSDL's general counsel, Dan Weitzner, the principal research scientist at MIT's Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory, and Lawrence Lessig, a Stanford law professor and author. It's a nice list of reps there, and although with such a small initial staff, they probably will not be doing a lot of casework, that group there is definitely capable of accomplishing a ton. I think this is yet another step, and there seem to be a lot of them lately, in open source growing up. I had the pleasure of hearing Eben speak at an open source conference in Toronto last year, and I'm sure that only good things will come of this. The initial seed money, it should be noted, has been provided by OSDL. Also related to OSDL, they recently hired Samba creator Andrew Trigel and said that the same $10 million legal defense fund that will be used to defend Linus from legal attack will also extend to Andrew, which is great. And OSDL continues to do great things. I had actually planned on attending the OSDL Linux Summit, but got the date mixed up with one of the other conferences, so wasn't able to book in time, although I do definitely look forward to attending that conference next year. Also, on the Linux continues to grow up front, it looks like Red Hat is going to be opening a lobbying office near Washington, D.C. Well, it's unfortunate that this type of thing is needed, but like I said, it's just another step and sign of the maturing Linux market. The article that mentioned this also mentioned that RHEL 4, which is the next version of Red Hat Enterprise Linux, is due out at LinuxWorld, and it will ship with the Common Criteria Evaluation Assurance Level 4. While really this, on a technical level, is not much more than a bunch of paperwork, so it's of limited use technically, it should definitely help with the aforementioned government adoption, as many government agencies do in fact require it. The final story we'll cover today is that ESR has stepped down as president of the Open Source Institute, or OSI. He's being replaced by Russ Nelson. From the article, the change occurred as San Francisco-based OSI said Monday that it intends to expand its activities in an effort to build up a larger network of open source software providers and develop a more international perspective. Those new tasks will include defining open standards and principles of open source and creating a registry of open source software projects. The board will be expanded to include individuals from outside the United States. One of the most important parts of any founder or leader's responsibility is to know when to step aside, said Raymond. Should be interesting to see if this change in leadership results in any change in the direction or policies of OSI, but we'll have to wait and see on that one. That's all I have for now, but stay tuned, and thanks for listening.